Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a story of awakening to your true energetic and physical duality and finding ways to know yourself and the world with clarity, awe, and wisdom. I am most delighted to welcome a very accomplished author, speaker, and entrepreneur and CEO, Mary Shores, to discuss her new book, Conscious Creation. Hello, Mary, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Mary, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I share our intimate experiences, our thoughts, and our growing awareness for life in all its possibilities in order to answer questions to age-old questions, such as, who are we, and what is life really all about? In our beginning to know ourselves as multidimensional beings, we learn to accept, allow, and surrender to the miracles of unending life. In today's episode, Mary Shores, who is a single mother, divorcee, and business owner, shares helpful tools to overcome adversity, break down barrier beliefs, set attainable goals, and take action to creating a life in alignment with our desires. Mary has spent over a decade teaching businesses and individuals how to inspire others, create new ways of thinking, identify goals, and take action to create meaningful results. She is the creator of the groundbreaking Words That Work system, which supports thoughtful communication skills. Mary, I always love to start each show by asking my guests to think back to childhood and a memory of a person, a place, an event that may have shown them or others a glimpse into the adult they would become and the interests that would be important to them later in life. For I personally believe, as in the beginning seed, is the potential for the growing flower. So think back for a minute.
Well, I think when I was probably about 11 or 12, I was in middle school, probably about the seventh grade. I had my heart set on this one particular polka dotted bikini. It was like pink and yellow and very pretty. And I wanted it really bad, but it was kind of a crazy price point for back in like 1985. It was like $55. I mean, who would spend $55 on a swimsuit for a 12-year-old? So my mother told me if I wanted the swimsuit, I would have to pay for it myself. So I went up into the attic of my house, and my father was a buyer for a beauty supply company that was an international company, and we had an attic full of beauty supplies, things like nail polish remover, shampoos, combs, hair dryers, just lots of things that they would sell to a salon. So I took all of these things to school, and I went into the cafeteria and opened a store for myself and just started selling these items. And of course, I got in big trouble. This was private Lutheran school. That wasn't really acceptable behavior. But I would say that gave me a glimpse into who I was going to become.
So you had a goal, and you thought a way through to accomplish what you needed, and you did it. You created by your thinking and your actions exactly what you wanted to achieve. Yeah.
That's right.
So you already had an idea of the possibilities for determining your own responsibility, and you also knew that you needed resilience, right, not to quit when maybe the going would get a little tough. So I think that's wonderful. And you also go on to say you started to realize a little later down the road that perhaps you were sabotaging yourself with some of your thinking when things got a little tougher as an adult, and you were beginning to realize that perhaps you weren't creating what you wanted the way you did in that instance. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened to you, how you started your business, and how you began to make a shift into taking this childhood awareness much further in developing a system.
Well, I started my business when I was very young. I was only 24, and I was the youngest person in the country to start the kind of business that I did in a very male-dominated industry. And I would say that things were pretty smooth for me back then. You know, life wasn't out of control or anything. Just a very small business. I was the only person handling things at that time, so it was pretty easy to manage, and you know, it just grew and grew over time. And of course, that was 20 years ago.
Right. But get on to some of the things that happened that made your life a little more challenging after that, and how you decided that maybe some of the struggle you were having was having to do with some of your thinking, or some of the way maybe you were speaking, or some
I
of the
think I know
thoughts you
what
were
you're
talking to
referring
yourself.
to. It just didn't have anything to do with business.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that I talk about in the book Conscious Communications is all about, you know, we have to be really conscious of the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves, because the words we say about ourselves to ourselves will actually become our identity. And so I think that not just me, but we all sort of have this running commentary of negativity in our mind that's projected onto ourselves. Or in one of my own cases, a good example would be that for 10 years, I really, really wanted to write a book. I was just in love with Miss Louise Hay and all of the Hay House books, and I had this big dream to write a book. And I would go around and I would say to anyone who would listen, you know, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And so the thing is about words and about speaking is that it's like these words that I was speaking was a mirror into my subconscious programming. So as I spoke the words, I want to write a book, it's like you can see that written on my soul that this is a purpose that I have in life to write this. But the issue is that those other words, when I was saying, but I'm not a writer, that's also a mirror into my subconscious programming. And what it's revealing is that somewhere along the lines, I picked up a belief system that was not going to support my goal of writing a book. So somewhere I might have believed that I needed to have like a higher education in English, or maybe I believed I needed to have connections in the publishing industry, which I didn't have any. So I really learned through that 10 years that the way to change that for me was really I had to start to invest in myself. But you know, and it's not just about writing, but how often do we say, like, I want to start a business, but I don't have any money, or I want to get healthy, but I don't have access to go to the gym or the things that I need. So, you know, I think that's a common thing we do is we state what is our dream, and then we cancel it out with what is the reasons we don't
Yeah,
believe we're going to have this.
absolutely. It's the fear of failure. So we think we want to do it, and if we want to do something badly enough, we will have the help, I believe, from above, from spirit. I was the same way. One day I went to a tag sale many years ago, and they were selling the contents of a very beautiful estate. I had just studied interior design, and I said to myself, I would be very good at this. I would like to do this, right? I want to run a business like this. Within 2 weeks, I must have told everybody about it, because within 2 weeks, a friend called and she said she had an aunt who was moving and needed the whole contents of her very lovely home sold. And I was in business. And
Wow.
it's been like that with me with everything. I got the thought, because people would tell me my daughter should be in commercials, and I said, no. I had been a teacher, and I thought it might hurt her too much rejection. But one day, I saw a little ad in the newspaper. It was so tiny, you needed a magnifying glass to see it. And it said it was looking for little Miss or Mr. Long Island to be in commercials. And I took my daughter. And it was only, you know, a matter of time before she was making commercials and movies, a soap opera, theater, voiceovers. So it was the thought. I always thought we could do everything. Even as a kid, I always believed anything the mind could think of could be accomplished. I never thought any other way. So what we're saying to our listeners out there is words and thoughts are very, very powerful. They do create your life. So if we live in positivity and move forward and do the right action, we can create almost anything. But if we live in fear and negativity, we will, you know, counteract that thought that we want, and it won't happen. So things that are good for us happen, and things that we focus too much time and attention on that may be bad for us also happen. That's how the universe works. That's the laws of energy.
A lot of times, you know, we're humans are libraries, and we're recording everything that happens to us from not just the moment of birth, but even before that. You know, we're recording in our subconscious brains everything that's happening, and a lot of times we get very attached to our stories from the past. And when we retell these stories, we're really reinforcing the neural networks that created the stories in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love what you're saying, because sometimes we get stuck in always creating these same behaviors over and over again, or these same kind of dramas in our life, and we really don't know how to start to create something new. But truly, like, if infinite possibilities exist, which I believe that they do, you know, it's the choices that we're making in every thin sliced moment of life that's connecting us to one possibility or another. And one of the first steps into getting control of that creation process, because we're all creating all the time, 100% of our day and our time is spent creating, but it's like whether or not we're in control of what we were creating. And when I was in the more down times of my life, what I realized is I was creating out of control. So a lot of things were happening that were circumstances that felt like I couldn't control them. So I had a lot of problems in my life, and I had to learn how to get that control. And you can do that by the different choices that you make every day. One of the first steps of that is to let go of the story, like loosen the grip on the stories from your past. Because yes, these things happen to you, and as humans, we're also meaning-making machines. So we make meaning out of these tragedies from the past. But the meaning that we need to attach ourselves to more than the tragedy is the triumph, is how did we get over this problem? Or, you know, thinking to ourselves to a time, you know, when was something this bad and I was able to overcome it? Because we've all overcome these tragedies in our lives. And when we can focus more on that, this really amazing thing happens in our brain where it starts to stimulate those problem-solving areas of our brain more than the problem-creating parts of our brain.
Right.
In the book, what we're doing is we're teaching people how to create affirmations that are just perfect for where they're at right now. So like a good example of that is if somebody has lost a job and they need a new job, you know, maybe it's not the right affirmation for them to say, oh, I have the most wonderful job in the world. But what might feel better is for them to say, day after day, more opportunities are around me.
Well,
because
of course you have to fit what's apropos to the situation. We know that we're going to pick a mantra, we're going to pick an affirmation, we're going to pick a meditation technique, we're going to use nature and music and art and everything to heal the soul and the mind. We're not going to. These are all part of the tools that you're talking about, and also as a conscious communication, you're talking about the words we're going to use, as opposed to the negative words. I can't. I won't. I don't. We're going to use words that are uplifting and inspiring, and we're going to teach people how to do that, because many people get stuck in their pattern of living with what people told them as children. You know, parents, teachers, and they're just, as you said before, 90 to 95% of the day, we're just repeating experiences over and over. We want to change that. We want to change it to words and actions and feelings that will bring us out of whatever situation we're dealing with, right?
So that's right.
That's what we're talking about. Now, you go on to talk about probabilities. How exactly would you define probabilities, and how would that impact our listeners?
Well, before I was talking about, infinite possibilities being available to us. And sometimes when we hear the word infinite possibilities, we assume that that means good things coming our way. But if infinite possibilities exist, that truly means a spectrum of all things, the good
Yes.
and the bad. And so it's like what I was saying is when I really understood the power of my personal creation, I was out of control and I was not creating the best of circumstances. But when you can learn some simple methods to control what you're creating, you can change your possibilities into probabilities. Because the difference is the probabilities mean that something is more likely to happen. And all of the coaching exercises in the book are designed because we're all understanding law of attraction at this point. We know what that means. But it's like, how do we get control over it? So one of the techniques in the book is called cleanse or clog. And I teach all of these ways where you would just simply, like for example, in a relationship, you would understand that everything you say, everything you do, every word that comes out of your mouth is either cleansing that relationship or clogging it. Because what we're really saying is everything is either creating a deeper connection to what you want or it's driving a disconnection.
That's correct. And you go on to say, so how do we do this with our thoughts and our words? Thoughts are beautiful things, and so are words. And you give five types of expressions, which it's very important, I believe, for our listeners to hear so that they can start to work with some of these tools. The first one is self-talk. The second one is spoken words. The third one is affirmations. And the fourth is goals. And the fifth is gratitude. And with those five tools, people can change a life.
It's so true. I love those five types of expressions.
Well, they're yours, and they came
Maybe
from your book, and the
that's
truth,
why I love them, because I wrote them. You're so funny.
and the truth is, the reality is that when people begin to realize self-talk is distracting them, right? That's where the
Well,
fearful talk often comes in, and spoken words may also be clogging up their ability to make the connections they want and to begin to change some of the situations that are ongoing, that are a pattern that they no longer want to abide by or accept, but they need to know that they've got to have the tools, and one of the tools are our spoken words. And then, of course, there's the affirmations, which are declarations to reprogram your mind. Because the mind, like anything else, has been functioning for a long time since childhood in patterns that you're just familiar with and used to, even if they're not effective. So we want to bring in new patterns and goals. You know what I find a lot of my clients don't have? They don't really know what they want. And if you don't know,
ah.
yeah, I find this a lot of time. If you don't know what you want, how are you going to create it and make the decisions and have the energy and the people around you that are part of what you want to create? It's like when I wanted to run the tag sales. I made a statement. It was a goal. I saw I could do it. I would have the people to help me, and it didn't take long to do it. So that's what I want listeners to know. It's not as hard as many people think. And gratitude. Oh, that's probably the most important concept here. Tell us about gratitude.
Well, gratitude, that as far as I can tell, and all the research that I did to write this book, and even before I was writing the book, because I started my gratitude practice on January 27th, 2015. And so I had just started writing the book at that point. And what I did was I contacted three other women, and we shared daily gratitudes with each other via text message. But my research with gratitude is really what I uncovered, and we all know this, that gratitude is really the foundation of every spiritual and religious practice on earth. I
Yes.
have not found any that don't include a gratitude practice. And because I grew up Christian and Lutheran, I guess I was raised with these beliefs that gratitude was about owing a debt of gratitude to some deity or god in the sky. And what, because my book is, I wanted it to be very neurological based. It's spiritual. It's just a perfect place where spirituality and science meet at this crossroads to understand that they're both talking about the same thing, but they're using two different languages. So when I talk about gratitude, I really want people to understand that this is such a healthy practice for your subconscious mind, because every day when you can be in the energy of gratitude, what you're doing is you're building a stronger neural network in that library that exists in your subconscious, and you are strengthening the neural pathways that train themselves to look for the good that is happening all around you. And once you get into this practice for about 45 days, you really start to notice all kinds of new opportunities around yourself. Now, it's my belief that they were there all the time, but that we really couldn't see them because we were training ourselves
Yes.
to look at the negative
Mm-hmm.
instead of training ourselves to look at the positive.
Right. You're absolutely right. And you also give some information on how to manage toxic buildup, because the nervous system processes experiences, and there's a rash of and rush of powerful hormones in the body. And there are ways, actual things we need to do to manage whatever problems we are developing physically and emotionally. You start with exercise, and you go on to mention other things that are all very important in nurturing the mind and body and spirit. So can you tell us a few that you would suggest to listeners to begin to do?
Going, like, again, using my own life as an example, I can tell you that I was really not processing the toxicity that was happening in my life, and it started to manifest itself in some curvatures in my spine that were not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like if we think of an older woman, and she has a hump on her back.
Yes.
This is what I was beginning to develop. And so these kinds of things don't happen overnight. So I want to say to the listeners that the reason why this is so important is because the things, the daily stresses, they're building up in your body. And over 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you begin to develop these spinal and skeletal issues, or arthritis, or fibromyalgia, you know, lots and lots of these autoimmune illnesses that we're dealing with every day. And so it's important that we take the time for self-care and to take care of ourselves. And so for me personally, I describe this as like my spine began to fuse, almost like a flagpole or a rod, and it was curving in the wrong direction. And when I went to correct this, I went through 2 years of traction therapy. But, you know, what happens is as my spine was unraveling itself, so too was all the emotional traumas that I had went through in my
mm-hmm.
20s and my 30s. And so that's why it's in the book, in the chapter 3 in the book, is to create a self-care routine. So whether that be exercise or breath work or yoga, there's lots and lots of suggestions. And what we're going to do is we're going to choose one thing that's non-negotiable for every day, one thing for every week, and one thing for every month.
Absolutely. And I like that you said avoid talking on your cell phone on the drive home, because
you like that one. That's an easy thing to do, it's so stressful.
I like that one because I see people, social media is hurting many people physically and emotionally. They're addicted to it. It's just it's just a tool, but it's being, people can't go to bed at night without having it right near them. And in the middle of the night, they're checking it, and it's not healthy. And so I especially like that one. Of course, you mentioned nourish your body, get a full night's sleep, adopt a vitamin regimen, and also work out the emotional stresses. Try to find more time for rest and relaxation and be out in nature, and more time for joyful activity, because the body really reflects how we're living in our everyday life and the thoughts that we're having. So we need to change the thoughts in order to change the physical things that are going on in our body. And you made that very clear in the book.
Oh, thank you.
And gave ways to go around it.
A little bit deeper about that phone call thing. You know, a lot of us in today's world, you know, we work full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gathering stress all day. And one of the reasons why I think it's very important to have this, like, no cell phone talk on the way home is because we really need some transition time. We need transition time from when we leave our jobs to when we walk in the door to our families. Because, like, if I were to call my girlfriend on my drive home and she's just going to complain in my ear for like 20 minutes while I'm driving home, what's happening is that's also stress.
Of course,
Because now I'm getting all involved in her drama.
you're going to have a headache.
Yes.
Your heart is going to be racing. You're going to be anxious, and you're going to walk through that door, and then maybe your child is crying, and it just builds and
You can't
builds.
handle it.
No,
It's too much.
it's sensory overload, and
Yes, I love that.
we need to learn to understand that as human beings, we're very sensitive. And we need to treat ourselves with, as you said before, loving kindness and care. Otherwise, we're of no use to anybody else in our life, and everything starts to take a downward spiral. So I want to thank you, Mary Shores, author of Conscious Communication, for moving past the difficulties of your own life experiences and opening up. Awakening, embracing, and finding new pathways to success, happiness, and a purposeful life journey. To read more about this amazing way to improve all areas of your life and to purchase Conscious Communication and also to receive a free gift with over 35 exercises to make Mary's teachings even more real, go to maryshores.com. Companion. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have shared Mary Shores' concept of conscious communication as a system and also a style of living in order to find the reality of our multidimensional being and how to use that awareness to begin to monitor our thoughts, words, and actions as we learn to master the emotions and responses we repeatedly have in individual and group interactions. We find greater love for ourselves and others as we move past judgment, learning to accept others on their path, and we can find our way to know what we need and want to create in our lives. Living authentically, we can also find happiness and peace. Mary wrote, "Our psyche is so deep that I don't think neuroscience has even scratched the surface of how vast consciousness really is. Some people think that space is the final frontier. I believe it's consciousness. Our consciousness is so vast that we can't necessarily get to the core belief every time. The truth is that we have no limitations, none except for the ones that we box ourselves in with. They are all 100% self-created." Absolutely, Mary.
That was a great passage you chose. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary and I would share our gratefulness to have found and mastered our own source of divinity and our desire to share with you. Our hope for us all to continue to delve within to the heart and soul of our magnificent potential and to allow, accept, and surrender to life as it is. As we do this, we create life anew in each choice we make, learning to accept the people, experiences, and whatever challenge we may face with courage and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, author of The Living Spirit, Answers to Healing and Infinite Love, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, spiritual, scientific, and educational and medical fields share the knowledge and insights into the human and the divine experience. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.